C1S, number 17B.
So that, again, in truth, in the sixth point, we realize that this attitude destroys the mistaken theory of soul and body. That this is now the law of destruction to the false and mistaken concept. Well, if that is the law of destruction to the false concept, to the false testimony, we have no more false testimony left. Therefore, we have only one thing left, the true testimony. And so we see in the last point of love, which is always the climax, that seeming or the false testimony is resolved into being. Can you see, the subtones have only one great aim. They always just want to show us the step-by-step process, so to say, which we have to take in consciousness in order to make the proposition of the subject to be a final proposition and a complete proposition. So in this way, Mrs. Eddy has shown that really that which testifies truly is that which goes out from God, stays with God, does not be disturbed by anything else, and so is the law of destruction to everything unlike itself. Then seeming is resolved into being. It isn't that something which has been wrong has been dissolved, but something which never was anything has been resolved in consciousness. So that only one thing takes place in consciousness, that which was right from the beginning. Yes, that's how far we came last time. And now we come to the fourth subject of principle. And in this fourth subject of principle, I have stated or tried to summarize it by saying that the ever-operative divine principle replaces the concept of material signs with the signs of God. Really, in this subject now, we get the fruition of all what we have been considering this afternoon, namely that she now shows us the new sense of signs in its principle. That an old concept of science is being replaced for a new sense of science. What is this new sense of science in a whole? Let us take the first subtone, and there is a mistake in this epitome. Namely, I have written that science bases itself on the divine mind and not on human beliefs. And then I put in brackets 123:16, and then it should read 225:30, and not just 30, 125:30. Let's take the text at the beginning, and she introduces that subject like this. She says, the term Christian Science was introduced by the author to designate the scientific system of divine healing. So here she defines for the first time what she means with Christian Science, in comparison naturally with divine science or absolute Christian science, namely to designate the scientific system of divine healing. You remember that John Dolly used to make that great distinction between the level of Christian science and the level of absolute Christian science and the level of divine science and the level of science itself. And one has to remember these categories in order to understand what she wants to bring out here. You remember that science itself, as Mr. Dawley tried to show, is that level where we just begin, where we just see that there is one divine principle, one infinite being, including within itself all the categories of science. It just shows that there is one whole, one being, which is in itself, one in infinitude, but categorized and systematized. But this one being, as principle, on the level of divine science says, I am conscious of myself. I am conscious of myself as one life, as one truth, as one love. This one being is not just an unconscious principle. See, not just unconscious principle. It's a principle which is conscious of itself and is conscious of its own essential nature, as saying, I'm the one life, the one being. I'm the one truth, the one Christ. I'm the one love, the one Christianity, including all ideas. I'm the one principle love, as John Dawley would explain it. This one being says, but this one life, and this one truth, and this one love is infinitely reflecting itself. Because if it is one, then it must infinitely have infinite relationship between themselves. And the moment we begin to touch the way how life, truth and love, the one principle of being, is related to each other, we come to the plane of absolute Christian science. Of Christian science, which spiritually compute life, truth and love, and the ideas of life, truth and love. So all still staying in the absolute, that's why it's called absolute, is still staying in that pure consciousness where we only compute ideas of life, truth and love. But the moment we begin to see that ideas work by themselves in annihilating its opposite, in resolving its opposite, therefore in resolving the belief about life, truth and love, then we touch the plane of Christian science, the plane where divine science is reduced to the human problem, is applied to the resolving of the human problem. And so on the plane of Christian science, Mrs. Eddy would call Christian science that it relates especially to science applied to humanity, see, to the beliefs of humanity, that Christian science is divine science reduced to human apprehension, is named Christian science. So that always then, when we have to deal with the relation of how ideas have their impact on beliefs, then we are thinking on the plane of Christian science. Therefore, on the plane of Christian science happens that which we seem to notice as the improvement of the human. But really, it isn't the improvement of the human. It only appears to the outsider as the improvement, as healing. But from within the one principle, it isn't anything like that. On the contrary, from within that principle, it is seen that this principle is whole, and therefore that it can contain nothing which is contrary to the one being. Sometimes when we are talking about handling evil, people have a feeling that handling evil is taking ideas of God and just hammering with these ideas of God on poor old mortal mind, and knocking mortal mind and error to bits until it is destroyed. Really, it's the very opposite. Handling evil, I would think we could say, is to see the wholeness of the one principle, including all categories of ideas, so that within that whole there is no place for evil to exist or to manifest itself. That I would call the handling of evil, namely that you don't handle evil as evil. That one sees that impossibility of evil existing within the one consistent, coherent system of ideas. So whenever people sometimes say, well, this is dualism, when you say you have to handle evil, well, it is only because they don't know what we mean by handling evil. Scientifically, handling evil is to see that there is no possibility for evil to exist or to manifest or to express itself. Then we handle evil. Really, what we handle is only our belief of an evil. There is no evil to be handled. In the Divine Infinite One, there is no evil to be handled. But what we do by handling evil is really that we have to get rid of our sense that there can be anywhere evil. So Mrs. Eddy here states that the term Christian Science was introduced by those to designate the divine system, the scientific system of divine healing. Her great question and difficulty was that she discovered divine signs, that her healing came to her when she began to be aware of divine signs, of the divine laws of life, truth, and love. And the great question was for a long time to her, how can I reduce that vision, that influx of life, truth, and love to the level of Christian Science, to the application to the human problem? And you know how she says that for a long time she didn't know how to explain it, how to state it, and how to teach it. She said, at that time I could not then explain the modus of my relief. I could only assure that the Divine Spirit wrought the miracle. And then, for 3 years after my discovery, I sought the solution of this problem of mind healing. So to her, the revelation came as divine signs, and she had to work to reduce it to the plane of Christian Science, where we get it. So he goes on and says, and that I think is interesting to note, the revelation consists of two parts. And as the first part, she has the discovery, and the second, the proof of that discovery. Let's take the first. The revelation consists of two parts. So revelation is really the higher category than the discovery. And that's, we should never forget, but because that's the new sense of science. The old sense of science is to discover. The new sense of science is revelation. To get discovery through revelation or from revelation. This is quite a difference than if we are setting out to discover and to discover without seeing and feeling the necessity of culturing our sense of how to be receptive for revelation. So, revelation as the roof category, I would say, has underneath two other, discovery and proof. And what does she say about the discovery? She says, the discovery of this divine science of mind healing. Here she points out what has happened to her. The revelation came to her as divine science, and she had to reduce her revelation to the discovery of how divine science can be reduced and applied as mind healing to the problem of humanity. So the discovery of this divine science of mind healing through, and she gives two factors or two elements, through a spiritual sense of the scriptures, and second, through the teachings of the Comforter as promised by the Master. So her discovery was based on two factors, namely a spiritual sense of the scripture. She doesn't say the spiritual sense of the scripture. She had received through revelation a spiritual sense, and that spiritual sense enabled her to open up the Bible. You remember how she quotes quite often that the scripture, she says, the scripture to which this Christian Science textbook is the key. She saw that the textbook is the key to the scripture. What she got direct from God as a revelation, she wrote down in the textbook. And she gave with the textbook the key to the scripture. And with this key, she said, through the key to the scripture in science and health, she could unlock the mystery of godliness. So, let's be aware, see, that revelation really is the main thing. Then through revelation, there is a spiritual sense waking up in us. And that spiritual sense begins to be able to unlock the scriptures. She says, Jesus was a Christian scientist who needed no discovery of the science of being in order to rebuke the evidence. To one born of the flesh, however, divine science must be a discovery. Woman must give it birth. So for Jesus, he didn't need the discovery, she says, because for him, the revelation and his innate sense and consciousness and conscious communion with God as one was sufficient for him to, as she says, to rebuke the evidence. But to one born of the flesh, however, divine science must be a discovery. And we know that what she means by one born of the flesh, and that woman must give it birth. We know that this wonderful sense of scientific obstetrics is that method which really enables us to be open and receptive for the influx of the divine revelation. That whenever we are woman, we are able to receive, and therefore we are in a state of conceiving revelation that ever is going on. The divine principle of the universe is always revealing itself. That's the beauty of it. We just can know that God, the divine principle, always wants to give us the right answer, always wants to illumine us, always wants to inspire us, always wants to show how to be bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's just a question of Can we put aside all material conceptions so that we are only spiritually conceptive? Then revelation just can break in upon us. Then woman gives birth to this new sense, whatever has to come. So she got that sense through a spiritual sense of the scripture. And second, which is so important to see, through the teachings of the Comforter as promised by the Master. We have to be aware of what she really says, that she says, really, the Comforter was giving me this revelation and discovery. But what is that Comforter? Jesus said, I will send you another Comforter. So we see she got it not direct from the Bible, but from the Comforter. That Comforter which came after the Bible. That Comforter which is the Holy Ghost, divine science, which Mrs. Eddy defines also as the development of eternal life, truth and love. That eternal development of life, truth and love, that's the Comforter for us today too. If we see that it is the eternal life, truth and love, ever at work, ever wanting to reveal itself, ever having its impulsion on us, ever wanting to have that give us that influx of light, if we are receptive, if woman can give it birth, then we are able to receive directly a new revelation from God. And that new revelation from God will give us a higher spiritual sense of the scripture every time. Mrs. Eddy said that every advancing age really will give us a higher sense of the scriptures, and not the other way around. And today I feel very, very much that what Mr. Dolley left as a spiritual,
legacy,
yes, as a spiritual legacy, was his teaching of 1949, that Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which will lead you into all truth. Because in that year, his whole thought was just always centering around that plane of absolute Christian science, the eternal development of life, truth and love. And if we can see how the law of life, truth and love is constantly having its impact on the mind of Christ, on the mind which is our mind, then certainly life, truth and love will open up in the mind of each one of us the higher sense of the Comforter, the higher sense of truth. It will break open everything which will stand in our way. And I think we have to be aware that somehow we have to break open something, that we can't go on in a small way, in a little way, and that a bigger sense of things will only break when in our consciousness we are willing to let something be broken up. But how? By being conscious of the laws of life, truth and love, impelling always on the plane of Christian science the one mind, the one spirit, the one soul, the one principle, the one life, the one truth, the one love. I feel if we get that law rightly in our consciousness, something must happen. So, let's be clear, you see, that this revelation consists of the discovery, but that discovery didn't come in any other way but through that comforter. That comforter which still is here as the eternal law of life, truth and love. That's how she begins the chapter. In the year 1966, I discovered the Christ Science. 1866. I discovered the Christ Science, or the divine laws of life, truth and love. The divine law of life is not the law of causality. The divine law of life is the law of spontaneity. It's that law which doesn't say, what have you been doing up to now, and if you are very good and very in earnest, you can add something more to your vision tomorrow and after tomorrow. The new sense of science is the law of life. And that's not the law of causality, it's the law of spontaneity. It's the law where the fullness of the influx of light is always waiting to break on our thought. And it's only a question, can we make that change in standpoint in our consciousness?